God, you're worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Hallelujah. Isn't God awesome? I tell you what, these guys are awesome. I've been in a few churches in the last month. These guys are awesome, man. Hallelujah. Good job. God bless you. I thank God for everybody that works and in ministry. One of the things about traveling around the world and going into other churches and other countries, sometimes sometimes when you're just here, you just kind of take for granted that you get this wherever you go, and you don't always get this wherever you go. And I just want to say welcome home. This is my third service of the weekend, so hopefully I won't ramble too much. I'm not all that jet lagged. But if I say something stupid, I'm just going to blame it on jet lag, okay? You go, well, you know, he usually says crazy stuff, but he's jet lagged, so we're going to give him a pass on this one right here, so it's going to be okay. But it is great to be home. Why don't we just pray, say, my heart's open, my mind's ready, make me better, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise God. I want to minister on looking for loopholes. And one of the things I realized, most of you know that I was in China and in Hong Kong, actually. And I was there for some medical treatment that's just a whole bunch cheaper there than it is here. And we have a long-running relationship with the church in China. We've been going in there for about 17 years. I want to tell you that the churches not just in Hong Kong are doing wonderful. They're spreading. They're planting works. I was able to preach in some of the baby churches there. Baby churches are still big there because there's like 1.5 billion people there, and so it's God's doing a great work. The works in Shenzhen just in the last 2 years have increased by about 300,000 believers. I mean, that, how do you count that, you know? And you go into Guangzhou and other places, and these are not state-run churches. These are like underground churches that have become above-ground churches, and the Chinese government has kind of decided it's better just to let them rent a building and keep an eye on them than have them underground and not know what they're doing. And so they're doing it, and Jesus is moving, and it's an awesome thing. And so while I was there, preached in several churches and running between doctors and such, and one of the things that happened is I was doing a leadership meeting for the churches in Hong Kong. And one of the things that I came to grips with, it doesn't matter where you're at in the world, you're always looking for a loophole. I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, whether you're young or whether you're old. You know, we're experts at shortcuts. You know, I call it a loophole. Over there, they call it a workaround. Is there a way we can work around that? And, you know, it's like, no, there's no workarounds in life. You got to do it. You know, it's like there's no loopholes in a good marriage. You know, there's not like some shortcut. Like, listen, instead of us going home and working this out, couldn't you just like pray for us, put fingerprints on our foreheads and have it all fixed by the time we leave here today because we were fighting on the way in? No, there's no easy way out. And we do that, and we've been doing that our whole life. And nobody really teaches this to us. How many of you remember growing up and your parents would tell you, you can't leave until, you know, all your P's are done? You know, and you go, God, I hate P's. And so as a kid, you'd learn how to smash them up and kind of push them to the side and put them under other stuff. And you know, you were doing the workaround. You know, it's like, all right, we'll just make it look like gravy on the plate, and we'll say they're all done, and we'll move on. Or you know, being home on curfew, you know, Billy ran out of gas. I swear I would have been here on time, or we got pulled over, whatever the story was. Nobody has to teach us the difference between the law and the spirit of the law. The Bible says that the letter of the law kills, that the spirit of the law gives life. Now, I've been pastoring a long time, and I preached, before I left, I preached to this church probably a month and a half on truth and grace, and that there is no defining it, and then when you draw a line on it, we lose something very powerful and very palatable that makes Praise Chapel what Praise Chapel is. And so I want to take you back, because when I was in Hong Kong sitting in these leadership meetings, I realized that, you know what, it doesn't matter where you're raised, where you grew up. We're all the same. The only thing that changes is the faces. But our inner workings are always there. Jesus, in a Jewish culture where rules always trumped reason, again and again, was constantly having to give the Jews new perspective on their rules and sometimes on their loopholes of the rules. Because every one of us, whether we want to be honest or admit it, we would rather spend the whole day looking for a loophole than just doing what God said. It's kind of like, how many of you parents have looked at your kids and say, listen, you're going to clean that room with a good attitude or a bad attitude? With a good attitude, it's going to get done in about 10 minutes. With a bad attitude, you're going to be here all day. Right? Well, because they're looking for a way around it. Like, well, if they throw a big enough fit, we're going to say, okay, forget it. Or we'll just throw up our hands and we'll go in there and we'll do it ourselves. And if you're waiting for me to come in and clean your bedroom, you're going to be waiting a long, long, long time. But, you know, it's a loophole. It's our way of getting around an issue. It's our way of maybe not directly answering a question, or, you know, being a little bit evasive. And we've always had that kind. Like, when you were growing up, how many of you had your parents ask you this question? Are their parents going to be there? See, because as moms and dads, when our kids are going over to somebody else's house, you know, whether it's spend the night or for an extended period of time, we want to know whether or not there's going to be a responsible adult there to keep an eye on you. Right? And how many times did you say, yes, their parents are going to be there? And then you finished it in your mind and you said, eventually. Right? I mean, I don't think they're going to be there for the party, but I know they're not moving. Eventually, they are going to be there. And so we have this way of kind of working things around, or you know, a police officer says, well, right there, the sign says no skateboards. And the kid says, but you're officer, I do not have skateboards. I have a skateboard. You know, it's these little weird, see, they're stupid, and we know they're stupid, but we do this in life, we do this in our Christian life, and we look for Christian loopholes. We look for Christian, you know, workarounds. You know, when I was growing up, long before I became a Christian, I thought the Catholics had it made, man. I thought, man, if I was ever going to be a churchgoer, I'd be a Catholic. You know, because they got this thing, you know, you can go out and be crazy all week long and then go on the weekend and go to confessional, get it all cleaned up, and then start fresh on the week. What a way to go. See, but it's not just Catholics that have that. Christians have that. You know what? Once I became a Christian, every Christian knows 1 John 1:9. You know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. We even go more than that. We know that he says he's going to take our sins and throw them into the sea of forgetfulness. So like when we come to God and go, it's me again, I did the same thing, and he's going, what? What? That was a joke, by the way. Okay. Didn't go over real well, but that's all right. It's jet lag. My timing's off. You get it. And there's a lot of people that say, well, you know, I don't really believe all the Bible. You know, I mean, I believe in God and I believe Jesus, but I don't believe in all the Bible. And you know, it's kind of funny to me because these people that don't believe in the Bible, if you'll actually sit down and engage them, everything that they like and that they're doing, they believe in. It's the parts that they're not doing that they don't believe in. They go, well, I don't like that part. See, and that's where it gets into a loophole. And then we play this game called theology. Or, you know, to basically, it gets down to a Greek word study. Well, do you know what that word means in the Greek? Oh, yeah, totally different, all kinds of things. And so what they do is they find this little loophole of getting around something that they don't want to do. How many of you believe Jesus is Lord? How many of you believe there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? Not a problem. How many of you paid your tithes this morning? Now, wait a minute, preacher. Tithing is Old Testament law, and we're under New Testament grace. And it's true. Everything of that is true. But you know, the reality is, let me ask you, does grace require less than the law? Grace came and Jesus says, listen, if they want you to walk a mile, go what? Go 2, go 10, go 15, that's right. Go exceed, don't just meet the law, exceed the law. Sometimes that's hard for us to get our hands around. And we're looking for these little loopholes, you know. It's how close, Pastor, how many beers can I drink? And not be in sin. How close can I get to sin without sinning? How mean can I become without falling out of love? I want you to get this. Because I am not going to give you ink and paper today. This church is not about ink and paper. If you notice, I don't even have a Bible up here today. Now, I've got some scriptures printed out, but I did it for a reason. I did it for last night. I just forgot my Bible, but today I thought, you know, I like this better. See, because we want to just make it about ink and paper. See, but I want to tell you, the Bible's not about ink and paper. It's not about the... You know why churches are losing kids by the thousands? Because parents and churches alike across the country have turned this into a set of rules and regulations. And the moments that kids are old enough to make their own set of rules, the first rule is I'm not going to church no more. Because I was made to go to church my whole life. My mom and dad made me do that. They made me do this. They made me do that. See, and when you make it about the rules, I can't blame you a bit. See, but this is not about the rules. This is about a relationship. And see, if adults and kids alike could get into the relationship with Jesus Christ, you'll never want to run from that. I mean, have you ever had the moments when God came in the car with you? God talked to you. He came into your front room. You were walking down a canyon all alone and realized that you wasn't all alone. See, those moments, those are the moments you live for. Those are the things that, you know, I don't want to talk to you about the commands. I want to talk to you about the commander. See, and that makes all the difference in the world. That's what'll make churches churches. This is what makes this church this church. This church isn't about rules and regulations. We're not all that sophisticated. Look around. You know, we're probably not at the high end, even though we have very intelligent people. See, some people go to churches because it's a status statement. You know, and some people have come to this church, liked our church, but we wasn't quite in the status of the status yet. Is that too honest for you, okay, as long as you know that, you know, because you tell people you go to what church? Do you know there's rumors about this church? I can hear rumors about this church halfway around the world. You know, and what's funny to me is do I look like somebody who's afraid of a rumor to you? It's like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, they said rumors about Jesus. We're just really in great company here. And so what I'm talking to you about today, Jesus ran into this all the time. This is not something new. It's happened time and time again. He dealt with people who fell in love more with the commands than they did with the commander. And I want to talk to you about what Jesus wants us to do. Go ahead and put up Matthew 15. It says, then some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were like the theologians of the day. They were the experts. They were the scholars, the Greeks and the Hebrew scholars. And it says, they came to Jesus from Jerusalem, you know, that would have been Mecca, you know, and ask, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? I mean, we have tradition here. I'll give you an example. We used to have a very nice wood pulpit right here. Huge, big, great. It was beautiful. And then I had a friend of mine make this nice, small, portable one. A little bit more contemporary. I cannot believe how many people... Where's the pulpit? Well, like, what do you mean? Well, the wooden pulpit. I love the wooden pulpit. It had a cross and everything on it. Where's the pulpit? And I go, you know what? It's really not about the pulpit. Hopefully it was about the truth that was coming across the pulpit. Hopefully it was something that was flying. But you know what I had to do? And this was, now, before you get mad, I mean, some of you are sitting here, let me just tell the story. It was some of the older folks, and I know as we get older, we don't like change near as much. I got that, and I'm getting older. Not old, but older. And so, you know what I had to do? I had to do a workaround with them. I was going, listen, you know, I love that pulpit too. But you know what? So many times when we were moving, when I was younger, it didn't bother me. But it weighs like 200 pounds. And to move it, one night I hurt my back. And I go, this one's so light. And they go, oh man, Pastor, I didn't know you hurt your... Well, that's fine. Did the workaround. You know, I don't know, you know, I kind of like it. And you know, the reality is you can move it really easy. But it was a workaround, because we just don't like change. Why do your disciples break the tradition? This is the pattern. This is how we've always done it. This, by God, this is how we're going to do it. And sometimes that tradition is in a brand. It's in a style. It's in you know, it's in a command. And this is what we're going to do. They don't wash their hands before they eat. Listen, dude, if your biggest problem is you don't wash your hands, you got life easy. Now, we know that this is not just about, this was a ceremonial thing that originally it was just for the priest, and then somewhere the elders figured out if it's good for the priest, and everybody ought to be doing this ceremonial washing that, you know, we're clean. And then go ahead to the next verse, and he says, Jesus replied, why do you break? What I love about this, he doesn't even answer their question. He just fly, why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father and mother should be put to death. Now we just went from preaching to meddling. Go ahead. He says, but you say if a man says to his father or his mother, what help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, or this whole thing, Corban. He says, he is not to honor his father within. Thus you do what? You nullify the word of God. This word that you're saying I'm breaking, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. And then Jesus says, you want me to tell you what I think about that kind of church? You want me to tell you what I think about those kind of Christians? You hypocrites. I want you to say that with me. You hypocrites. Now say it like you mean it. You hypocrites. Now some of you enjoyed that way too much, right? Right? You're going, man, I've wanted to say that forever. You know, you hypocrites. But see, this was Jesus' position. And he says, listen, man. I'm not here to redo all the commands with you. I came to introduce you to the commander. I want to tell you about him. See, because there's lots of groups of Christians that can take the Bible and twist it to their own little way. I mean, it's hilarious to me when I listen to people talk, and every little group has their own twist, and you know, God bless them, it's good. You know, have you ever watched people put their political twist to spiritual issues? You know, everybody knows God's a Democrat, or everybody knows God's a Republican. And then when I say this in church, everybody gets mad. I get emails. You know, you've turned this into a political process. You know what? I am not talking about left wing or right wing. I'm talking about the whole freaking bird, man. It has nothing to do with what Jesus came for. You can have politics, God bless you. It's part of the country that we're into. You know, you hear all these little groups bang. You know, it's time we took America. Do you know that God's not an American God? you know, the way you think it, God's up there reading the Bill of Rights. You know, I just left a country that had 1.5 billion people in it. There's only 300 million Americans. Now, I'm not ditching America. I'm not ditching His word. I'm just saying that sometimes we do this loophole thing. We put this stupid little twist on spirituality that robs us from being who God wants us to be. God wants us not to have rules. He wants us to have relationship. And see, when you get up and you have relationship with Him, you want to hang out with Him. You want to talk with Him. You want to touch Him. You want Him to touch you. And He'll do that. He wants to hang with you. Like, just like Enoch, every day they got up and in the cool of the day, they walked together. And one day it was time for God to go, and He just looked at Enoch and says, you know what, why don't you just go with me? And Enoch said, cool. I'm walking your way. Walk this way, you know. That's how we're going to go. And have you ever met somebody, you know, and Christians, we fall into this in such an easy way. They've got a verse for everything. I mean, they've just got a verse. They've put their stamp on it. They've, you know, it's the only one they memorize. So, you know, every time, you know, Zechariah 7:17, it says that, you know, and they put it on you. It's like, wow. Well, that's good. Praise God. I'm glad you've read a verse. See, you can go through the Bible without the Bible going through you. Do you know that? See, God is about changing our lives. He wants to change our lives. See, when he moves into our heart, he changes our heart. See, a lot of people got him in their heads. There's going to be a lot of people that miss heaven by about 18 inches. See, because he wants us in here. And when he gets in here, out of the abundance of the heart, not the head, the mouth speaks. See, when God changes your heart, all of a sudden he changes your life. He changes how you live and what you do. And so here's Jesus. He shows up in our world. Well, in this case, in their world, it was only a couple thousand years ago. He showed up in their world. And basically, now this has shocked some of you. He goes, forget about the commands. I've come to show you who the commander really is. See, what was this whole thing when God comes and he throws out the first command? What was that all about? The first thing he says, thou shalt have no other gods before. You know what it was all about? He's going, listen, this is not about the rules. This is about a relationship. This is about more than, not saying the rules aren't necessary, not saying that rules aren't good. See, but if all you have is the rules without the relationship, see, some of you, you only have a marriage in a certificate. Because you're mean as hoot, you sleep in one bedroom, he sleeps in the other, and you fight in the middle. You know, and you call that a man. That isn't what God wants. I'd rather you not have the piece of paper and get along. Oh. But if you're getting along that good, let's go ahead and get you married, is all I'm going to say about that. You know, just saying. See, and so John 13, we read it last week. Put it up there. A new command. See, he didn't do away with the commands. He says, a new command I give you. Love one another. It's not like love your bro or love you. No, not that kind of love. I love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. When did he love you? When you cleaned up your act? When you woke up one morning a drunk tank and said, this isn't working for me. I got to clean up my life. I better start going to church and be a good boy. That isn't when he started loving you. You know when he loved you? He loved you when you were a sinner. Rotten to the core. As mean as a... Yeah, an old boot. Man, you know he was chasing you down and you were running from him. He loved you then. He says, listen, I came not to talk about all the commands, but it's the only thing you listen to. So I'm going to give you a new command, and I want you to get this one. This one's going to trump all the other commands. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you have read my word. That you can quote scripture and verse. That's jet lag. Scripture and verse. And I'm not telling you not to read your Bible. I think you've got to read your Bible. All I'm telling you, when you really read it, you'll find out that it's not ink and paper. Jesus says, the words that I speak, the words that I say unto you are spirit and life. Or literally that they have a spirit of life to it. A lady came to me after the early service this morning and she says, you know what, Pastor? Since I've been coming to this church, I've actually become a Christian that I actually read my Bible. And she says, you know what? When I read it, it finds me. It comes alive. And see, that's the thing. It's not about, well, okay, I'm going to read the Bible in a one-year Bible reading program. It's not about, you know, check, okay, I've done my reading for the day. It's God working in and through our lives. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you've allowed me to come into your heart, then I've changed you. And when I change you, then that's going to change the way you do life. That's going to change the way you do relationships. That's going to change how you deal with problems. That's going to change how you build friendships. It's going to change how you your worldview. And you know what else is going to change? Everybody that sees you is going to know you're different. Something's different about you. Yeah, I grew up goatee. No. Something's different about you. Something has changed about you because God reached on the inside and changed your heart. He says, this is how the world will know that you're my followers. If you love one another. See, in this day, they didn't have Bibles. They didn't have chapter and verse. They didn't have Christian bookstores. The only way that they knew that you'd been around Jesus was by the way you lived, and by the way you loved, and by the way you treated other human beings. And that's how they knew. He says, listen, if you'll do this, if you'll love one another, Jesus, he died, resurrected from the dead. He is now seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. Christians have been persecuted. They've been spread around the world. At this time, a quarter of a century has passed. And John is reminding them about not the commands, but about the commander's wishes that we would love one another the same way that he loved us. See, that's not washing out the gospel. That's not taking away. Have you ever got the right? I hear stories like this, like, yeah, I know the kind of people that go to that church down there. Tax collectors, I hear tell. Sinners, the whole lot. Wasn't that kind of what they said about Jesus? Tax collectors and sinners loved for to come to hear him. Why? Because they believed that he cared about them. Go ahead and put up Romans. Here's Paul. He says, let no debt remain outstanding. Pay your bills. It's a good thing. Except the continuing debt to love one another. Now you got to remember, this, he's writing to the church in Rome. Nero is the ruler of the world. He's persecuting Christians. It's been a tough time. It would have been really easy as a believer to hate the Romans, to hate the Roman occupation, to let this thing seethe up on the inside and go, you know what? We're going to overthrow. And he says, continue the debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled what? The law. Remember what I told you? I don't know, I've been gone for a month. So remember what I told you before? If you remember the angry birds, I put the angry birds up there. Told you I've been in churches look just like that. Angry Christians, mad at everything, boycott everything. Man, just, you know, got their favorite pet peeve that they're going to pick and chew and slam and cram and gag me with a spoon. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. And then I love this. And whatever other commandments you guys could come up with. I love the way Jesus is thinking, man. He's just rolling it right off. He says this, or this is Paul in this case. He says, are summed up in this one rule. To what? Yeah, well, you don't know my neighbor. If you knew my neighbor, you wouldn't be thinking that. He don't clean his yard. He's got a big dog that barks at midnight. What are they all saying? Hey, Christians. Hey, Jesus followers. I want you to wake up every day with an understanding. You're in debt to love everybody around you. You have a debt of love. Because God loved you freely. Long before you were ever a good boy or a good girl, He loved you. He looked down and He says, you know what? I want to love Howard. Even though I gave him 1,000 or maybe 1,000,000 reasons not to love me. He came out and He came looking for me. You know, when I had friends that would come and preach to me before I became a Christian, you know, you've ever had those people that would just beat you up with the Bible? Yeah, the Bible says that, you know, just whack away at you. Those people never bothered me a bit. I'm a pretty good debater. I can get a little sarcastic every once in a while. And man, I could go back and forth and go, yeah, really? Well, whack, 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 whack. You know what really killed me is when friends of mine that had got touched by Jesus, when they'd come up and start loving on me and tell me that God had a plan for me and that he was gonna use me, the very thing that hell has tried to use to destroy me, that God was gonna turn that around for His glory. Man, that kind of stuff would just overwhelm me, man. I wanted to run for the hills. You know, it just got underneath my skin. I had to get out of there. You know why? Because I knew God was real. And somewhere deep down, He put it in me to know that He's love. And you know what? I knew that being a tough guy wasn't really about a bar fight. I knew that being a tough guy was actually loving. It was easier to fight than it is to love. And you know what? It's a lot easier to quote chapter and verse than it is to love the unlovely. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you know, you got to get up in the morning, maybe with a spouse or with a prodigal child, and you got to get up, and the Bible says you got to love one another the same way that God loved us. That's not easy. What's easy is just going, well, the Bible says, and storm off. Now, that's up to you. You know what's tougher is loving them through that, is working them through the issue. That continuing debt to what? To love one another. But you don't understand. If you knew Him like I know Him, if you knew her the way I know her, this continuing debt to love one another, that one we never pay off. You know what it means? Listen to me as I put a bow in this. It means this. It means love comes first. Love is the commentary. Love is the filter that the rest of Scripture is ran through. And that's how Jesus lived. I told you in our last series that I did, if you want to know what Jesus meant, then you watch what He did. If you want to know what He meant, don't run to the Greek and the Hebrew and give me your little workaround. What He did is He got His hands messy in all kinds of messy people's lives, whether it was the woman caught in adultery or the Samaritan woman at the well or Matthew Levi collecting taxes. Come, join the group. What? What? Jesus, He's a tax collector. We, you know, this is going to make us look bad. Do you really think I came here to protect my reputation? I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. See, it's really easy to be Christian. Remember? We did like 5 weeks. Christian. You can be Mormon and be Christian, JW and be Christian, Catholic and Christian. You can be Pentecostal and Christian, Baptist and Christian. A little bit tougher when you throw the word disciple in there. Because now it's fairly well defined. Christians was something that somebody else called them. The Lord called them disciples or followers. Come follow me. Now I want you to new command. I want you to go love other people the same way I loved you. And don't you dare, don't you dare, don't you dare pick up my Father's word. Don't you dare pick up a verse, a chapter, or a line that my Father gave you and use that as an excuse to unlove somebody. Don't you dare do that. Do you know how many Christians do that? Do you know how many churches do that? They'll get a chapter and verse and use that to unlove a whole segment of people. That's what the Pharisees did. That's what the Jews did with tax collectors. Jesus, they're a tax collector. Why would you invite them to follow? You looked at him. He was just sitting there collecting taxes. And we got to walk by and you got to go come join the group. Why? Our reputation. Yeah, well, you think it's bad now? Wait until we have dinner at his house tonight. Then you're really sunk. Do you know, let me bring this to a close. Do you know how this changes the world? I know it changes our church. And I know that if you're here and you're kind of maybe in an upper social strata, that coming to a church like ours isn't easy on you. I get that. Because there's tax collectors come here. Sinners, I hear tell. And if we go there, then they're going to think that it's okay to live in sin, or it's okay to collect taxes for Rome, and oh, I can't do that. And that they're such nice people. We'll visit you every once in a while. Do you realize how this would change the world if we just did this debt of love to one another? I don't know when it was. We were in Hong Kong someplace, and in a leadership meeting, somebody was saying something. I can't really. I'm jet lagged on it, but I could tell the guy was just thoroughly ticked off. I asked him to stand up and walk over to me. And in Hong Kong, in Asia, it's a saving face thing. And so, you know, he had to do that. He walked over. And I just gave him a hug. I go, "You need a hug, brother. Let me give you a hug." Man, I don't know what made you so bent or got you mad or you know, somewhere, man, you've taken ink and paper and turned it into something that God doesn't want it to be. And I remember just having a moment with the guy. Afterwards, he says, "Thanks." See, because that's not... See, it's really easy for me to get mad at people. It's really easy for me not to want... It's not... I don't want to love you. You're a creep. You know, you need a bath or, your car needs a smog test or something. I can use 1,000 stupid reasons not to love you. But you know what? Nowadays, when I look at people, it doesn't matter where they are, rich or poor, good looking or ugly, fat, skinny. I'm thinking, God, what does love require of me to do to this individual? What is love going to look like? If you were here in me, which I hope you are, then how do you want me to treat this person? You can call that greasy grace. You can call that whatever you want to call that. But I want to tell you, quoting chapter and verse is so much easier than loving unlovable people. Do you realize that this is a transformational question? What would love require that I do? Maybe I could just get you to challenge you all this week. Just to ask the question. Let me even let you off the hook. How about if you don't have to do it, okay? You don't do it. You're off the hook. How about if you just get up every morning and ask this question, what does love require me today? Do you know how that will change your marriage? Do you know how that will change your marriage? Because I know you want to set him straight, or he wants to set you straight. But what happens if, instead of setting each other straight, what happens if you just reach out in love? What happens if you just walk by the tax collector and say, hey, come and be a part of my gang. Come on, blood in, blood out. Let's go, come on. We're going to jump you in, come on. Do you know how that would change your friendships? Do you know how that would change the relationship with your children? I am so amazed. I have so many friends that pastor churches that their kids not only don't go to church, they hate God because God has become this rule book. I'm so glad my kids are in church. I'm so glad my grandkids are in church. I've never wanted to be about a rule book. It's not about the commands. It's about the commander. And when you know him, you know that song that we sang, what you want to lean up against him? You want to feel his heartbeat? Have you ever just taken your kid and hugged him? And they wanted to pull away, but you just hugged them tighter. See, I think that's what God wants us to do. And you know what? If you act that way like a Christian, if we act that way like a church, things will change. So this week, every morning when you get up, just ask yourself, when you're dealing with that ornery employee or that ornery boss or that neighbor that don't clean his yard, just ask the question, what does love require? You don't have to do it. Just ask it this week. And see how much that'll change your life. Because if you ever get to the place when you ask the question and then you begin to put it into practice, I want you to know it'll change our world. You believe that? Stand your feet. Give the Lord a good hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to just bow your heads with me for just a moment. Lord, I thank you for this church. God, I thank you for every man and every woman. God, there's people here today that maybe they've just come and they're sitting on the sidelines and they're looking. God, I pray that somehow through your grace and through your mercy, God, that they can feel your love. God, the love that you loved me, that you loved them with. God, that you will touch us and change us. God, as a church, I pray this morning that you would let us all live with an ongoing debt of love to a lost and dying world. I'm so glad, God, that you didn't look for a loophole when it came to loving me, to loving us. God, that you paid the price. You held the course so we could have an opportunity to be free today. Say this prayer with me. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Help me to love others with the same love that you've loved me with. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you're free to go. Now listen to me. Before you move. On your way out, you're going to run into an ornery person. Don't you dare look for a loophole on to treat them nasty. If somebody mad dogs you, you walk over to them and smile and go, you look like you need a hug. Okay? God bless you. Be blessed. Be filled. Be gone.